The Girl from the Sugar Plantation, written by Sharon Maas and read by Deborah Michaels.
I believe that there should be values other than money in a civilized society. I believe that truth, beauty, and goodness have a place. Moreover, I believe that if businessmen put their money, profit, greed, and acquisition among the highest virtues, they cannot be surprised if, for instance, nurses, teachers, and ambulance men are inclined to do the same. John Jock Middleton Campbell, Baron Campbell of Escan, 8th of August 1912 to the 26th of December 1994. Chapter 1, 1934, British Guiana, South America. When I was 16, I made a pact with the devil. He came in the form of a fawning, red-faced and rather plump middle-aged man by the name of Mr. Foote. But I was too innocent, too inexperienced in the ways of men, to guess his unsavory intentions. Oh, I had an inkling, certainly, a twinge of intuition, a sense that his offer came with a price. But I was too excited to care. I ignored the undertones, so obvious in retrospect. It was a pact born of my need for validation, my need, I suppose, for love. For isn't love the foundation of all other needs? But I only realized this in hindsight. At the time, I craved applause. And that's what Mr. Foote offered. Naive as I was, I had little clue as to what this agreement would eventually involve. But Mr. Foote wasn't to know that. In his eyes, I was easy pickings. He made the offer, opened a door, and blindly I leapt through it. That door was my escape route. From a prison without walls or bars or boundaries, a prison consisting of infinite skies and endless green fields. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me explain. I was born with a sugar spoon in my mouth, heiress to one of the great sugar dynasties of British Guiana, a remote colony perched on South America's eastern shoulder, tucked neatly between Brazil, Venezuela, and two other Guianas. A land of great rivers and far-stretching seas, its arms wrapped around you as a mother. We called it BG, a diminutive so much warmer and intimate than the stern formal title, a name spoken like a luscious secret among those of us who knew and loved her. BG. I miss it so much. The very word conjures up memories of sunshine and flowers, butterflies and birdsong, beautiful white wooden houses on stilts against a backdrop of succulent green. I tend to forget the ugly parts. I tend to forget that it wasn't like that for us all. That unhappy as I was, still I was born to privilege. That within the dark underbelly of our little dynasty lay great suffering. I tend to forget that my little private prison was child's play compared to that of so many of my brothers and sisters. That in fact I was one of the lucky ones, despite my perceived misfortune. Nevertheless, I was miserable. Our particular dynasty was in danger of falling apart, with only me, female and half-blood, the worst combination possible, as the final twitching limb and potential savior. The stalwart Englishman who had wrestled our sugar gold from the earth, or rather ensured it was wrestled, lowlier beings did the actual work, were all long gone, leaving behind just the two of us, Mama and me. Promised Land, our crumbling kingdom, was a 10,000-acre estate in the country of Berbice on BG's quarantine coast, east of the capital city of Georgetown. It was the only home I've ever known, the foundation stone of my identity.